Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back here on a Wednesday on KMBZ, and we continue to follow the economic effects of the coronavirus and how it seems like just in the last couple of weeks, we've been hearing a lot more about the different reaches of the coronavirus in terms of economics. And so joining us on the phone to explain a little bit more about it is Jeffrey Bartash of MarketWatch, who's been writing a lot of stories about this. So can you just give us an idea, first of all, about your take on the swing that we've had in the markets in the last couple of days?
Well, the Dow Jones lost almost 2,000 points in 2 days. It's a not an unprecedented drop, but it's a very extremely sharp one. And we may probably see more volatility up and downs in the stock market in the next few weeks, perhaps even longer, until we get a better handle on how far this disease is going to spread. And, of course, if it makes it to the United States, then all bets are off. There's no telling what could happen.
Jeffrey, I was wondering, taking a 30,000-foot view, seeing how the COVID-19 is affecting China and then the ripple effects on the global markets because of that, is this a good lesson in looking at this? Should the economy be diversified more, China being the maker of so many things? Should that be spread out more around the world?
This is a growing, Washington's becoming more and more aware of this every day. Just getting, for example, masks to use against this, some of the key ingredients only come from China, and that's one reason why there may be some supply disruptions. We're seeing this in many industries, and of course in healthcare, there's a lot of politicians are talking about whether we should do something to ensure that there is a native supply in the United States for future problems like this. So yes, this is definitely bringing the problem home to roost.
Can you take us through some of the industries that are being, that were kind of being hit first, and who may be hit if this continues for a while?
The first ones obviously are going to be tourism, travel, flights, restrictions going up all around the country. And this country and other countries, Italy, for example, was the first country to bar flights from China, still did not prevent them from getting an outbreak of the disease. Tourism, a lot of Chinese tourists travel around the world, including the United States. Luxury brands are getting hit. A lot of manufacturers and companies that rely on Chinese supplies actually have a fair amount of stock on hand, ironically because of the trade war. They stocked up in advance of the various tariffs. So they may be okay for a little while, but you just need to miss one part in a complex device or machine or a product like an automobile, and that can shut down whole assembly lines.
Is this the beginning of a global recession?
It certainly has the possibility to do that. And again, time will tell. Typically, diseases like this tend to fade a bit in the warmer weather. But if you quarantine millions of people and shutting down auto factories and other plants and such, there's no question the economic damage would be large. And increasingly, economic forecasters believe a global recession could be in order if this does, in fact, become a global pandemic.
Can we come back and talk about travel here for a minute? I actually wouldn't mind spending a couple more minutes on some of these industries, because that was some of the questions that we were getting here on the air yesterday, was people asking, like, should I be canceling my summer trip? And my first thought was, not yet and not necessarily. And it seems like the fear or the threat is not necessarily being in those countries, but being on the airplanes to get there.
Well, it would certainly be prudent to limit one's travel until more is known. and everyone's going to have to gauge that equation on their own. In some cases, you may not be able to get your money back. So, yeah, a lot of people are going to be worried about traveling. We're already seeing people curtailing travel plans, and I suspect we're going to see a lot more of that again until we get a better handle on this. And experts certainly are cautioning people to be careful of where they go.
You know what's interesting about this is that this really shows that the economy, the financial world, even our daily lives, it's all part of one large breathing system, this global economy. When you have one thing happening over here, it's being felt over here, and it's the entire globe.
Just 10 years ago, 15 years ago, the SARS epidemic, it didn't really spread outside of China. 30 years ago, something like this would spread. But the rapid spread of this disease just shows, once again, it goes to show how interconnected the entire planet is. And the other, of course, factor everyone has to keep in mind is that China has become the world's largest manufacturing hub. So many products that are built around the world, the parts are coming to or from China. And this, in many cases, there's no other suppliers, so the problems like this in the future are probably going to. We could have situations in the future where we see more of this because of how interconnected the whole world is now.
So it could even be a cautionary tale of don't put all your eggs in one basket. Basically, don't have one country be the sweatshop and the manufacturer of everything, because if that's disrupted, we see this giant ripple effect around the globe.
This is a realization that's increasingly dawning, not just on American politicians, but also many companies from the United States that have businesses around the world. Even before this, they were starting to locate and maneuver or move operations outside of China because of the ongoing trade conflict with China and the U.S. And many executives believe these trade tensions are going to exist for a long time. So even before this outbreak, companies were making that decision, and I suspect this will accelerate it.
Are there any industries that are well-positioned or better positioned to get some of that manufacturing or get some of those parts from somewhere other than China? Or is it too late to start that right now?
It's not too late, and it's already been happening. Our trade deficit with China last year fell substantially, but the overall trade deficit did not, because basically companies end up shifting and getting supplies from other countries, Europe or other parts of Asia or South America. And there's no guarantee that these operations will come back to the United States, but there's certainly been companies that have been shifting operations outside China to other countries.
So get out your crystal ball, Jeffrey. What's the next 6 months going to look like? What's going to look like in 18 months?
Past history shows these epidemics or these flare-ups tend to fade, but this disease is spreading more rapidly than other examples, such as the bird flu or SARS. I hazard a guess to try to predict where we're going to be 6 months from now.
So President Trump is planning a news conference for this afternoon for 5 o'clock Central Time. It was interesting yesterday a little bit to watch the CDC come out and say, some pretty dramatic language that it's not a matter of if, but when it hits the U.S. And then the White House came out and said, don't worry, we have it under control. How much of that was to try to stave off some of the, some of the Wall Street hit?
Well, it is an election year, and there is going to be both parties are positioning themselves, and one has to expect that. But the administration is at the same time trying to warn people that this may be a danger, but at the same time, they don't want people to panic. And I'm not sure if you can do both of those things at the same time. And naturally, in a political environment and in a presidential election coming up, you have to imagine that these flare-ups are going, these cross talk is going to occur more frequently. The administration is trying to, as I said, make sure people aren't panicking, but at the same time, it would be negligent if it didn't warn people of what could happen.
What we've seen on Wall Street over the past couple of days, was that a panic in the financial world, and is it justified in a sense?
Well, as always, it's often said that the two strongest emotions on Wall Street are greed and fear. And what we've seen the last couple of days is fear that this epidemic, this viral outbreak can spread to other parts of the world and shut down the global economy. if that actually did happen, then the fare would be justified. Whether that proves to be the case, again, history shows these things tend not to go that far, and that the problems fade. But this disease is spreading more rapidly than others, so we just don't know.
And if this fades, if the COVID-19 fades and just becomes some minor little thing, has the damage been done?
No. We 2 years ago, the stock market had a similarly large decline over a few-day period. So stocks can always recover, and in the recent past, they actually have. So as I said, fear and greed being the two dominant emotions on Wall Street, if this problem starts to fade next week or next month, you should expect and probably can expect that the market will rebound.
And so is there anything that the U.S. government can do? We're hearing a little bit about them trying to put money into a vaccine, maybe. But is there anything at this point that the U.S. government can do to stave off some of the economic effects, or do we just have to ride this out for a while?
There's not much the government can do if companies shut down their businesses, people stay at home, and the like. The Federal Reserve could lower interest rates. The government could try to spend more money. But the economy can't function if people aren't working and staying at home. So there's things the government can do, but in the worst-case scenario, their options are limited.
All right, Jeffrey Bartash from MarketWatch, we appreciate all the insight, and we'll see how this goes through the course of the day
today.
Yeah,
thank you very much, Jeffrey.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.